Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the second show for Phoenix Women. I'm Wendy Berry, your host for tonight. And I want you to know how excited I am about being here and about you taking some time out of your evening to come spend it with me. The title of our show tonight is Today is the Benchmark for Your Tomorrow. And it was very interesting. I was speaking with the guest that's going to be on later this evening, and she made this statement, and it seemed to sum up her life and something that she's very passionate about. And so together we decided that we would call it Today is the Benchmark for Your Tomorrow. And as I was getting ready for the show tonight, I wanted to come up with a really great quote and find a quote. And just like sometimes the universe just gives you what you need, that's what happened to me. I came up with this. Our future is not created yesterday or tomorrow. We create it today in the now. So what I want to talk about for a little while is about how we look at our lives. And what I find is many times, even in the moment, even right now, this moment, as I'm speaking, you may be thinking about what you did at work today. Or you may be thinking about how you need to go grocery shopping tomorrow or to do the laundry. And it's infrequent that we actually are in the very moment that we're in. And that's really all we have, is just this moment. So when we're looking at our past, there's a lot of different ways that we look at it. Number one, we kind of look at it set up in milestones as we're reviewing our lives. And for me, being a midlife woman, that was something that I started doing in midlife, was reviewing my life and looking it over. And what I found was many times I was reviewing it in a way that I was either looking at it like the good old days or judging it. So there's different stages of life, and midlife is one of them. And of course, there's infancy and childhood and adolescence and young adult. And each one of those stages of life have their very own milestones. You know, the first word, the first step when our babies get up and they start walking, those are all milestones. When they first go to kindergarten, and when we review our life in those moments, those pivotal moments of our lives, we look back on it and we either go, man, that was really great. That was the good old days. And sometimes that's really fun to go down that memory lane and remember the good old days. I know sometimes when people post things on Facebook, you know, toys from that I had when I was a kid, and I hadn't even thought of it for years, and it comes across Facebook and I'm like, oh my God, I remember that. And I remember how much fun it was to play with that. And it brings back memories. Just the other day, there was a great video about being a kid growing up when I did, and being outside and playing all day long, and your parents, my parents didn't know where we were half the time. As long as we got home before the streetlights came on, we were out all the time. And it was all about how it was really a miracle that we even survived, because we rode bikes without helmets, and we, you know, we went to and played on the swings, and we would swing up as high as we could, and we'd do all kinds of things that today, you know, we know that maybe that's not such a good idea. You know, if you wear a helmet, you won't get hurt. So it is truly a miracle that any of us midlife people survived based on the safety from today. However, as I was watching that, I was remembering that sense of freedom that I had when I was a kid, and that sense of curiosity and my imagination, and just give me like some washcloths and some boxes, and I could make a heck of a Barbie doll house out of any of that. So all these memories came up for me, and some of them were really good. However, if we get stuck remembering the past in a way that those were the good old days compared to what they are today, and, you know, based on that, boy, today really isn't very much fun, it really keeps us stuck where we are. And we don't have the ability to expand our thinking or our awareness or understand new things. It just keeps us held back. And I don't know if you guys know anyone like that, but I know some people in the world that really are kind of stuck there. You know, when they get together, that instead of talking about what's going on in life right now in this moment for them, they spend a great deal of time remembering football games that they played in or parties that they went to or things that happened in high school, and they're 40 years old. The other way that we can look at our past, or at least I have, and some of the clients that I work with, is with regrets. You know, we look at our milestones in life and go, man, I didn't make a very good choice there. If I had done something different, if I had just done something different, this was a bad mistake. And we're judging what we've done with our life. And when we're judging what we've done or the choices that we make in our life, we're judging ourselves. We're judging ourselves as not being good enough or failing at something or not being lovable or not being, having enough friends, not being capable. So when we're in that place of remembering and judging ourselves, then we're blocking the ability to grow, the ability to step into the greatness of who we truly are, because we're still stuck in the past. And another way that we look at the past is we look at our losses. We look at the losses of friends. We look at losses of relationships. We look at losses of jobs. We look at sometimes loss of money because you make a bad decision about something that you buy. So when we're looking at that, we're longing for something that we no longer have in our life. And when we're longing for something that we don't have anymore, it keeps us in a space that we're not open to new things coming, new loves, new friends, new jobs. And all of those things cause us to constrict. And part of being empowered, which is one of the reasons why I have the show, is to empower women that are in midlife to step into their greatness. And when you're not empowered, when your energy is closed in, it's hard to feel empowered. I know when I would do some of these things, I would get caught with some old belief systems, and it just fed off of that. Not making good choices and not having enough information or making bad choices in relationships. And it closes down your ability to become great. Now, there is a way to look at the past that does empower you. And when we are able to look at our past from an objective point of view, one that's like you are looking at the situation and you may be feeling some of those feelings coming up, and you're just recognizing that that was a situation or something that happened in your life that caused you to become who you are today. And if you can stand away from it without becoming enmeshed in the what ifs or if onlys, or if I had done this different, or if I had been different, if you can step back from that and be in a place of just observing and being aware of what's coming up, you'll be able to identify belief systems that came from that. You'll be able to identify some of those barriers that causes your own personal power to close down. And if you can recognize that, then you can say, well, that was then, and today it's different. I'm not the person I was then. I am the person today because of that, because it has been a force that's created an opportunity for me to grow and to expand my understanding and my own awareness. And in that awareness and that objectivity, the past proves to be very helpful. I mean, one of the sayings is, you know, I've heard this said, we learn from our history, and we're talking about like our country's history or the world's history, how people interact with each other. And if we can look at history, we can learn something from it. And that's when it becomes a valuable tool, that reflection. So looking to the past is not necessarily disempowering, but it's how you look at the past that determines whether or not it's causing you to feel empowered or not. And when you can be objective and aware, you're able to not only see the things that maybe you didn't do right, but you can also take on and own all the wonderful things that you have done. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person in the whole world that could tell you a long litany of things that I wish I had done different in my life. And sometimes it's not always easy to make a list of the things that you've done right or the successes that you've had. In fact, I've had somebody tell me, Wendy, you succeed, you just don't see that you succeed, and you still think you're not succeeding. And I had to stop and think about that and realize that that truly is something that I've done over my life, is succeed and then not take that on as an accomplishment, because I can only look at the list of things that I have not done or I would have liked to have done differently. So looking back over your past, if you're reflecting on that, try to be gentle with yourself and know that whatever was going on in that moment, that was, you used the tools that you had at the time to move through that, and you move through it. That's the big thing. You succeeded because you're here today in this moment, and you've become the woman that you've become because of those things. So celebrate it and be gentle with yourself when you're reflecting. So that's looking at the past. What happens when we look at the future? Some people look at the future and they go, if only this would happen, I would be happy. If I had more money, my life would be great. If only, and how about when? When I lose 10 pounds, then I'll be happy. And so we get caught up with judging or setting ourselves up thinking that somewhere in the future we can have what we want. And when we are looking there and thinking that's where everything is, we lose the opportunity to feel those things in the present. And then we can look at the future with regrets because we had thoughts of things that we wanted to accomplish. So those are memories. And then we're looking forward to the future going, you know what? It's too late to do those things. Or I'm too old. I don't have enough schooling. I don't have this. I don't have that. And so we get caught in these regrets based on something that we wanted in the past and it hasn't come to fruition. And so we're judging ourselves for not accomplishing those things. And we can grieve and the loss of dreams and possibilities or even relationships. You know, we're looking in the future and we're, you know, my nephew died when he was young. He was 15. And I know that his mom deals with that loss, not just from the memory of losing her son, but also from the loss of not having the future with him and being able to see his children. So there's this loss both in the past and in the and in the future. And when I get caught up in that loss over my dreams and the possibilities of things, and I'm saying I can't do that or have that, I feel very helpless and feel like, what's the use? And I forget that I have this moment to create something amazingly wonderful in my life. I'm too busy thinking about what I think isn't going to happen in the future. So looking in the future is not a bad thing either. And just like looking in the past, being objective, we can look in a way that empowers us. And it's by being visionary, looking forward. Objective is where you are, where you're at right at the moment, and then visioning the life that you desire, what it is that you really want. And then you hold that vision. You be able to bring that in such a way that you can see it, you can feel it, you can smell it. You bring that into your mind and see the woman that would be in that moment having that life. And then bring that back into this moment and live from that vision. Live from being that woman that already has that vision. Because that will move you forward. You learn to live from your vision. And that leads me into the tool of power for today. And it is the power of intention. Now, the definition of intention is a thing intended or an aim or a plan. Now, if you think about action and doing things, you have intention behind everything that you do. You just don't know it. So for instance, if you're going to go to the store, you intend to go to the store. So the first thing that you do is you find your purse, you get your keys, you walk to the car, you get in the car, you turn it on, you back out of the driveway, and you drive to the store. So there's an intention. You don't think about what is my intention now. You just say, I'm going to go to the store. And then that moves you forward because there is an intention already set that those are the steps. So as we become focused on what it is that we want to achieve in our life, what vision we hold for ourselves and hold it with intention, it moves us forward. It empowers us to move into action. And what I want to share with you is clarity on your intention is crucial, because you can say, I want more money as an intention. I want to have more money. That's my goal. And if you really have an underlying unconscious program running that says, I never have enough money, I can never make enough money, and I have to work really hard for money, and I'm already working really hard. All these programs that run underneath in our subconscious affect our intention because it kind of overranks it. And even if you say, I want more money, the programs negate that, and then you end up having the same thing that you had before, which is a feeling of, I need more money. So when you become clear on your intention and you recognize those old programs that come up as you're setting your intentions and moving those blocks out of the way, then it clears the place for your intention to move you forward toward what it is that you desire. It's also really important to know why intention needs to have clarity. I've worked with some people. I've done some network marketing, and that's really not my niche. And I would try exactly what everybody else was doing. I'd make phone calls and I'd, you know, talk to people and I'd do those things. But my results were definitely not the same as some of the people on my team. And what I learned from that was my intention was very different from their intention. The action was exactly the same. And I dealt with the same type of people. I still had the same product. The only difference was my intention and my programs running. So as we learn to become empowered as women, we can learn to focus our intention, clear the programs out of the way so that our intention can actually move us forward toward our vision and we can manifest our desired results. So that's the tool for this week. And I see that I have my guest on and I am so excited. So I would like to introduce this wonderful woman that I had a great opportunity to speak with this week. Her name is Linda Murray Bullard, and she is fascinating. She's had quite a life. She has learned to move beyond some of the barriers that have come up for her. And I am in awe of how powerful this woman is and what she has been able to do with her life. She is a mother, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother. And she holds 2 degrees in business. And let me tell you, she earned these degrees while she was, some of the time, was being a single mom. And I'm sure she'll share that with you. She also holds a PMI certificate in project management. And some midlife people, we come to a place in our midlife that we come up against a big obstacle. And Linda certainly did. In 2013, she had a position that she'd been at for 26 years and the job was deleted. And she was left looking at what was she going to do with her life. And I am so excited. Today, she's a business owner, a self-published author, a professional speaker, and a teacher. And she helps teens, women, and men make choices that transform their lives. So hang on, people, because this woman is going to share some really wonderful things with you tonight. Let me introduce her to you. Linda Murray Bullard, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I've been listening to you and just being inspired.
Oh, why, thank you. Well, I tell you, you got me inspired when we were talking, and it just kind of took off when you started talking about today is the benchmark for our tomorrow. So
yes.
I just love it. So Linda, I would love if you would share a little bit about growing up, because I know that really kind of laid the groundwork for who you are in the world today.
Okay. Talking about growing up, well, I have always been a very visionary person, very visible. That's how I learned best. And even as a child, I learned to talk and hold full conversations at the age of 2. So my memory goes back to then, ironically. But I can remember being very small. I remember exactly what my pet milk and rice cereal tastes like.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy. But growing up, I was the youngest of 6 kids in a mixed family, in that my mother had 4 kids before she met my father, and my father had 4 kids before he met her. So I'm the youngest of both sets between them. And then there are some step kids. Those people went on there to have other kids. So our family is probably about 22 of his, mine, and ours. That's an old show with Henry, I forget his last name. But him and Doris Day played this picture called His, Mine, and Ours. And that's exactly what I'm living.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, I'm showing my age right now. But I told you I have a very vivid memory. So I'm the youngest of those kids. My mom, fast forwarding to 1968, I'm 9 years old. My mom had been sick for about a month. She got sick around Thanksgiving. and she was getting sicker by the day. And so on Christmas Eve, my dad took her to the hospital, and he said they kept her. And so the next day around 7 in the evening, my dad comes home and says that our mom is not coming back. Our mother died Christmas Day 1968 of double pneumonia and the Hong Kong flu epidemic that was ravaging our city.
Mm.
So I'm 9 years old, and I'm not really old enough to process what all that meant, but that day sticks in my mind like it happened yesterday. I can still remember the whole feel and the senses of it, and it's still gray, rainy weather, and it's really rainy here. Always takes me back to that day.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad was 50. He had just been left with 6 kids, which he was not the stay-home dad that they have today. My dad was a worker. He was the one that worked outside. My mom hardly ever worked outside of the home. She was a homemaker. So him having to change roles, we went through ups and downs. He sent us to go live with relatives for a while, and when that didn't turn out well, he came and got us and brought us back. I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee, so he came back and got us and brought us back to Chattanooga, and I've been here ever since. Well, over a period of time, my oldest brother's father came and got him and took him to L.A. and left him. So I wrote the book, The Well Ran Dry, Memoirs of a Motherless Child, which is my life, talking about that day we lost our mother, but also talking about reuniting with my brother after 37 years and about being a teenage mom. I had my oldest son. I was pregnant at 13 and had him at 14. And people talk, you know, they think some kind of way about that, but what I found is teen parenting for the girl usually comes from a breakdown in the family. And for me, it was the loss of my mother. I didn't have a female role model to tell me some of the things that all the girls need and should know. And so I grew up very naive and not really understanding the importance of being feminine, first of all, and then how to care for myself. Because my dad, back in that day, men at the age of 50 didn't talk to little girls about little girls.
Right.
You know, yeah. So there was a gap in my education, and most of, I tell people now, the things that they see that are feminine about me, I actually learned them by being taught by somebody else or watching how somebody else did it.
Mm.
So, yeah, so growing up, I mean, it wasn't the best life, but all of that played into who I am today, and it gave me a passion for helping other people to understand the power of their choices and that if you change your mind, you also change your life. And that's what I've done in that I started behind the curve, but I have a book now that's in the Library of Congress. I travel around the world teaching people about the power of choice, and I have an audience. I just did an ad last week, so I have a growing audience in Jamaica and Mexico and Kenya, other places that I haven't been, but I dream of going. So this little bitty girl who has had not the ideal life decided at around the age of 23, which was the birth of my middle son, to get my life together and to start doing things to become a role model for my children. And my kids, my oldest son, he's 41, he saved my life because I wanted him to be something more than what I could see. And so he's a captain at the fire department. He's been there almost 20 years. My middle one has a very good job. He works at the local health insurance. And my baby, my youngest one, he's a firefighter as well. So I don't think I've done too bad in raising my boys. They all are productive citizens.
Oh, I would say you did a fine job, Linda. And
thank you.
What I love, what you said about, I saw something more for my son. And so you had a vision for him.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, go ahead.
And that wasn't easy, and he'll tell you, at the age of 18, he wanted to lay around all day after partying all night. And he had a daughter at the age of 17, and I refused to watch him become a failure. And that's what I told him, is I actually physically put him out and packed his things up, put them in the garage, and said, I won't watch you fail. I can't watch you be a failure. And so you have to find somewhere else to be. And it resulted in him going to the Navy, spending 4 years there, and that's what gave him his fire science education that he's using today. And I tell him that's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life is put my child out. But he tells me had I not done that, he would have been a statistic because it was at that point that he changed his life. So it's a hard love. It was hard love, and hard love hurts both parties.
I definitely hear what you're saying about that, because it's the easier choice is to just keep taking care of them.
Yes.
It is. However, our job as parents are to raise self-sufficient people that can take care of themselves and empower them to do that. And
absolutely.
And that's not an easy job sometimes.
No, and it's not easy when you, I mean, being a mother, I understand that I'm a mother raising boys. And so while I can teach them compassion and nurturing and all the things that the mother brings to the relationship with her son, I cannot teach them how to be a man. That's outside of the scope of what I was designed for. And so they're being on them constantly about being productive, about being, making something out of themselves and being a contributor as opposed to a distractor. I was very tough on my boy. My oldest one, you know, I wouldn't let him go outside the fence. If it was dark, he was at home. And he didn't have to be in the house, but he had to be inside the fence. And so, you know, he talks about that now. He actually has his daughter, actually, by the way, his oldest daughter that he had at 17, she graduated from Emory University in 2013.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah. So we've passed that torch to her now. But and her son is the reason I'm a great grandmother. Because when you start having babies young, you kind of push everybody up forward. So that's
right.
When my great grandson is.
Because I think you're only 29, right?
I know, right? That's what I said, but my son said, Mom, I'm 41, so you're going to move out the way.
I'm going to hold for just a minute because I want to let the listeners know our call-in number. So if they have questions, they can call in and talk with you, okay? So
great.
Call-in number, if you'd like to call in, please call in on 646-716-7979. Again, that's 646-716-7979. So if you have any questions for Linda or for myself, please feel free to call in. So Linda, take us to, so you have your children and then you went to school.
Yes. Actually, I tried to go when my kids were younger, but I kept wanting to be there for homework because their homework was, to me, more important than mine. And like I said, raising boys, you have to stay on, and there's so many influences and things to distract them that I didn't want to lose. You know, I had a very passive husband who would allow the boys to do pretty much what the boys wanted to do. And so I was the iron fist. So I couldn't go to school and be caught up in school. I actually had to, you know, be the disciplinary for them. So school didn't work. I had to wait until they got older. So my degrees are relatively new. My associate's was in 2009, and my bachelor's was in 2011. So I'm now finishing, working on finishing my master's.
Wow. So you really have gone through a lot of changes as you hit midlife, as the kids were, you know, moving out and getting out on their own. You really, really did a lot of what you called reinventing yourself.
Yes, and that's exactly when I lost that job, it, you know, I had to think of what next, because that was the longest relationship I've ever had in my life. And so when I lost the job, I had to reinvent Linda. And I decided this time, because up until that point, I did what was expected of me in helping to, you know, in raising my boys and helping them to be who they were supposed to be in their lives. But in 2013, I decided to go the approach of now I get to do some of the things that I've been putting off, like writing the book and opening my business and empowering other people.
Right, right. So how has that been for you? Was that an easy transition, or what did you go through as you were reinventing yourself, Linda?
Well, I went through, for me, it has been, I guess I'm probably more, I wanted to go faster because I feel like I don't have a lot of time to get it done, even though that's not really true. But I just feel hurried because I feel like I'm playing catch up. So there are so many people, my support system, my network of people, huge, huge, huge. Everybody has been very supportive throughout. It's the only thing is, like, going back to school later in life, you don't retain information like you do when you're younger. And so that's been my biggest struggle, is trying to make sure that I stay abreast of my homework and that I'm able to take tests and pass them, because my memory is very, very not there.
I really understand what you're saying. I did some plays when I back probably 20 years ago, and it was easy to remember lines.
Uh-huh.
And just last February, I was in a play and I had to memorize the lines, and oh my goodness, it wore me out.
I know.
So I couldn't remember like I could. So I applaud you for stepping into that, and because you're right, staying focused. And when we're older and we're going to school, when we're going back to school and we're learning something new, don't you think that you really focus more attention than you did when you were younger? Because so there's a little bit more motivation to get money to work.
Yes, absolutely.
So Linda, so you're getting your master's in business. Now tell us a little bit about the business that you have now.
So now, after the 26 years, I actually worked in 13 positions at the insurance company where I worked before. And so, like, I have an attention span of about 3 years. After that, I have to do something different, or I feel like I'm going to die. So I know, long before career paths and, you know, people talked about the ladder, the career ladder and all that, my attention span is about 3 years. And so I've used those talents earned at my previous position, and I find that small businesses don't know how to screen an applicant. They don't know how the proper procedures for firing an applicant. So I use the knowledge that I gained over those 26 years to open LSMB Business Solutions. So I help people who dream. Like tonight, I taught a class for Brightbridge Women's Business Center, which is a partner of the Small Business Administration. I do those type of things. I try to teach them how to do it the proper way in starting their business and trying to figure out the numbers. Tonight's topic was price it right, the dollars and cents of doing business. And so I taught them how to learn how to figure their variable costs and their fixed costs and their unit prices, and what does break even mean and why is it even important, and your gross profit versus your net profit and all of that. So that's what I do, is I take the knowledge that I've gained over those years and I apply it towards helping me to empower people.
Excellent. So we have a call in. I'm going to go to the call, Linda. Okay?
Okay, sure.
Welcome, caller. Can you tell me who I'm talking with?
Louise Bale.
Louise, thanks for calling in. Do you have a question for Linda or I?
I was calling in because I was trying to see when is you all's next meeting.
What meeting are you speaking about, Louise?
Is it Bright Star?
At Bright Star. Linda?
Oh, she's talking about my class.
Okay.
I do those in Brightbridge. The next class is actually Thursday from 11:30 to 12. The session on Thursday is called Business Ready, Set, Own, and it gives people an opportunity to think through their business idea before they invest a lot of time and a lot of money.
Okay. Well, thank you, Linda. I was just calling to try to get that confirmed, and
well,
you all have
you.
A nice day.
Thank you for calling, Louise.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So one thing that you said that I thought was really, that I'd really like to pull out is you were talking about your support system, Linda, and how important that has been for you.
Yes. I have been blessed in that although I didn't have a mother, I've had really strong women to pour into me through various sessions of my life. Right now, I have an 89, well, should be 89 at the end of the month, next month, but I have a godmother who has taken me under her wing to show me different things. So I've always had a circle of women that embraced me, and it may be because I didn't have a mother and they felt maternal, but they've always
mm-hmm.
loved on me and tried to show me the right way.
I bet it's just because you're lovable, Linda.
Yeah,
that's what
I try
to
be. I do.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
So Linda, we talked about how you you self-published your book. Say that name again for the audience.
My book is The Well-Ran Dry Memoirs of a Motherless Child, and it's actually on Amazon.com.
Okay, very good. I wanted to make sure that we got that information out there so that people could know where they could find your book. And you've talked about your business, and let's give you how they could get in touch with you if they want to do some work.
Oh, definitely. They can get in touch with me at my website is getthebusiness.org. That's getthebusiness.org.
All right. Very good. And so talk about a little bit about you do some speaking. And
I do public speaking, right. I teach the power of choice. It's actually a curriculum that I came up with. And it basically just talks about teaching people to be empowered in the essence of their choices. I speak at colleges. I've spoken at churches. I do community groups, women's group, women's night out. I have a vision board session that I can do to help people to dream. In fact, I'm doing that one at the high school, my former high school, on November the 9th and 10th.
Wow.
So I want to teach people to dream again, and I want to teach them to live their best life, and it all goes down to choices, using the power that's in your choices.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Linda, when you're when you're talking about dreaming, that's the same as what I was talking about in having vision, being able to have a vision for something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So finding out what somebody's dream is, then you can help them look at what choices do they make that actually take them to their dream.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So have you done any of the vision board workshops with high school students before?
Yes. I actually did it with the graduating class of 2015 last year. And I find that, I went to an inner-city school, and so people, there was a test results that came out that said none of the kids were ready for, excuse me, none of the kids were ready for high school, for college. They were not prepared for college. And so I went to the school because that was my high school, right? So I went to the school and I actually talked to the teachers. And one of the things she said is she would love for me to bring vision boards to them. And I think she had, I want to say she had about 25 students, but every one of them started a vision board. Even the ones that didn't take to it at first, everyone walked out with a vision board at least started, and many of them finished there.
So how did that, no, I guess the question is that I'm curious about is when they did their vision board, do you know how that impacted them?
Because we talked about it. What happens is when I go into a session, the first thing I have to do is get people's minds primed for doing the vision board. Because a lot of times, you know, people haven't been taught to dream, and they don't see
right.
it as attainable. And so they look at it as being for them over there, and so they don't think it's for them. So I have to get their mindset right, so that they can absorb what I'm trying, where I'm trying to take them. So that's what we did with the young people is we talked about, you know, bringing it closer to home. Who do you know that has done remarkable things and who do you admire? And take it out of the TV and out of the Hollywood and the celebrities and the rappers and all of that and bring it back to the neighborhood and bring it back to who in your neighborhood or who at your church or who at your school is doing positive things. And I had remarkable, we're talking about, they say those kids weren't primed or ready for college, but then I had a young man, his vision board was about succession planning. So he was talking about passing it on after he got it. He was talking about having a business that worked for him while he went on and enjoyed his life.
Wow. That's amazing. I worked as a school nurse for a while with middle school kids, and so kids are really a soft spot for them. So I'm loving the fact that you do this, and I'm not sure that everybody that might be listening knows what a vision board is. Can you explain that for the audience what a vision board is?
Sure, and it's a very simple idea, but it has powerful impact. It's actually taking a poster board, and it can be as glamorous or as common, as plain as you want, but it's taking a poster board and then getting magazines and cutting out things that empower you. That can be as simple as powerful words. Like mine says, I am confident, I am a creator. You know, it could be as simple or as complex as you would like, but it's those things that your heart desires for you. So the vision board is broken into four quads. It's your finances and career is one quad. Your personal health is one quad. Your spirituality and spiritual being is one quad. And the other is relationships, and that can be the relationship between your family, relationships with your community, relationships with your customers, and if you're on a business.
Right.
And you just cut out pictures and words that empower you. The magic is putting it somewhere where you see it every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to think, what do I want to do? On my vision board, and this is the truth, I started my vision board in November 2014, and I put a car on it because I had two vehicles at the time, and both of my vehicles went down at the same time. And so I put a vehicle on my vision board, and I was not ready to make a car payment, so I didn't even think, I just put it on there. I put a truck, a SUV crossover, and on December the 9th, I was given the keys to my Santa Fe. I have a Hyundai Santa Fe crossover that looks just like the truck on my vision board.
Oh.
So, and I have not, and now it didn't come free. Before I say that, I had to get rid of the two vehicles I had. It did not come free, and I do make a payment, but the payment is right where I can, you know, right where I can do. I didn't see myself buying a brand new car, and this is a brand new car. I'm the first owner.
Mm. Well, so I could add to the long list of things that you are a powerful manifester, Linda.
Oh, thank you.
So we're coming down close to the end of the show. I do want you to give your web address. And is that the best place if they were to want you for a speaking engagement? Should they come to that site also to contact you?
Yes, that is the best place because it has a place for you to put your information and contact me. Or they can actually call my business. My business number is 423-752-0673.
All right. And tell your website again for us, Linda.
Okay. The website is getthebusiness.org. That's getthebusiness.org.
All right. Very good. Well, Linda, is there any other words of wisdom that you'd like to share with the wonderful women out there?
Well, I thank you all for listening to shows like this. It was in listening to people who were doing the things that I dreamed of doing that I found myself. So I commend each and every one of your listening audience for tuning in and for seeking out those things to help empower them. That's where it starts. It starts with a desire, and then comes the change.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your life to come spend it with us and sharing. And I am truly blessed to have had the opportunity to get to meet you, Linda. And and I know that we will be speaking again soon. Oh, you're welcome. And if you were close by, I'd give you one heck of a hug because that's what I feel like right now.
I'd hug you right back.
All right. And I will be back on November 10th. I will be back November 10th, and my guest will be Susan Turnbull, and she is a fascinating life coach out of New Mexico, who has created a wonderful business helping people with their beliefs, and she does a spiritual integration practice, and you'll want to tune in to hear all about that and hear Susan's story. So good night, and thank you so much for listening. Have a great couple weeks.